May 8th, 2023. The time, 16:38 Eastern Daylight Time. Ward Green with you again today. Let's begin with a song from 1981 by Foreigner called Urgent. Okay, so the weight of the evidence from our Wild Road article, part 2, chapter 8, paragraph 9, confirming that the date of the Exodus was May 3rd, 1493 BCE, is overwhelming, as our Big Egg rain dates from this chapter hold. The accession date of Amenhotep II was determined from the anniversary of that date in year 23, which fell on lunar day 1, with year 1 as 1439 BCE. November 10th, 1439 17. But would be 3 years earlier, with year one, 1442 BCE, November 11th, 1420 BCE. A lunar day minus three days before new moon, less favorable for a celebration of an accession than a lunar day one. However, the same date is lunar day one in 1442 BCE, the year one. For some scholars, the overlap of the reigns is seen to be thus 2 years and 4 months. Based on this fact, and also on the military campaign of Amenhotep II that he embarked on in year three, which was early in his reign. In chapter 1, paragraph 12, we reveal the simple account of the dead reckoning from Thutmose II to Thutmose IV, the dates held in place by the full moon coronation of Amenhotep III, grandson of Amenhotep II, who was the son of Thutmose III. June 17th, the full moon coronation of Amenhotep III in the year 1405 BCE. The length of the reign of Amenhotep II is not certain, so it doesn't really affect the year one of Thutmose III. A fact which liberates our view regarding the details of Amenhotep II's accession, with the overlap proposal differing from Manetho's 25 years, 10 months by about 1 year. On the other hand, the 8 month interregnum that we have in the simple version, as opposed to the overlapped version, with year one in 1439 for the simple version, gives rise to few problems, implying a possible co-rule at the end of the reign of Amenhotep II. Implying a possible co-rule at the end of the reign of Amenhotep II. Why? Because his reign length given by Manetho was 25 years, 10 months. And with him beginning in 1439, what do we have? 25 years, 10 months for that? Year 1, 1439? No, it doesn't seem like a problem. 1439 to 14. Oh, yeah, no, that's right, because the year 1 of Amenhotep IV was 1415 in the genealogy. So, because of the lunar alignments once again, and because of how long Thutmose IV ruled, and because of when Amenhotep III, the son of Thutmose IV, began to rule from his coronation date, which we also have as a full moon alignment. So a lot of things going on here, but basically year 1, 1439, is consistent with the death of Amenhotep II in 1413, with about 26 years for the length of his reign. So a possible co-rule is implied at the end of the reign of Amenhotep II with his son Thutmose IV, a possibility which would imply his death in 1413 BCE. But that's because Thutmose IV began to rule, and he ruled for about 10 years, nine years perhaps, and some months, before Amenhotep III was crowned in 1405. So that puts Thutmose IV nine years earlier, which is about 1415, 9 years earlier than 1405. So 1415 implies an overlap if the father of Thutmose IV died in 1413, his the father being Amenhotep II, whom we are talking about here, a date which could be seen as intimating a death for his successor, Thutmose IV, in 1403, if we take it from death to death, and he ruled for 9 or 10 years, Thutmose IV, i.e. that Thutmose IV at death was co-ruling for 2 years with his successor and son, Amenhotep III. So they were, each of them was the son of the other one in this lineal descent of pharaohs. Anyway, we've got the dating well established here. with a few discrepancies that we saw and discussed in this paragraph with regard to Amenhotep II and how that impacts his successor, Thutmose IV. So it's interesting that he's, in a way, more of a problem than his father, Thutmose III, whose reign we had to adjust. And we had to assume that he changed his and backdated his year one just to account for the facts. But even though that seemed complex, the, in a way, the difficulties of his successor and son, Amenhotep II, are worse in some ways. Anyway, so we're going to go on now and look at our proverb for today. It's Proverbs 11, chapter 31, little children. Look, the righteous one, in the earth he will be rewarded. How much more so should the wicked one and the sinner be? Powerful scripture. The next one of our study today, we're getting to finally Exodus chapter 19, preparing to read the Ten Commandments in chapter 20. In the third month after the sons of Israel came out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they proceeded to pull away from Rephidim and to come into the wilderness of Sinai and to encamp in the wilderness. And Israel went camping there in front of the mountain. And Moses went up to the true God. And Jehovah began to call to him out of the mountain, saying, this is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and to tell the sons of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, that I might carry you on wings of eagles and bring you to myself. And now, if you will strictly obey my voice and will indeed keep my covenant, then you will certainly become my special property out of all other peoples, because the whole earth belongs to me, and you yourselves will become to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you are to say to the sons of Israel. So Moses came and called the older men of the people and set before them all these words that Jehovah had commanded him. After that, all the people answered unanimously and said, all that Jehovah has spoken, we are willing to do. Immediately, Moses took back the words of the people to Jehovah. At this, Jehovah said to Moses, look, I am coming to you in a dark cloud in order that the people may hear when I speak with you, and that in you also they may put faith to time indefinite. Then Moses reported the words of the people to Jehovah. And Jehovah went on to say to Moses, go to the people, and you must sanctify them today and tomorrow, and they must wash their mantles, and they must prove ready for the third day. Because on the third day, Jehovah will come down before the eyes of all the people upon Mount Sinai, and you must set bounds for the people round about, saying, guard yourselves against going up into the mountain, and do not touch the edge of it. Anybody touching the mountain will positively be put to death. No hand is to touch him, because he will positively be stoned or will positively be shot through, whether man or beast. He will not live. At the blowing of the ram's horn, they themselves may come up to the mountain. Then Moses went down from the mountain to the people, and he set about sanctifying the people. And they engaged in washing their mantles. Accordingly, he said to the people, get ready during the 3 days. Do not you men come near a woman. And on the third day, when it became morning, it came about that thunders and lightnings began occurring, and a heavy cloud upon the mountain, and a very loud sound of a horn, so that all the people who were in the camp began to tremble. Moses now brought the people out of the camp to meet the true God, and they went taking their stand at the base of the mountain, and Mount Sinai smoked all over due to the fact that Jehovah came down upon it in fire, and its smoke kept ascending like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain was trembling very much. When the sound of the horn became continually louder and louder, Moses began to speak, and the true God began to answer him with a voice. So Jehovah came down upon Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain. Then Jehovah called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went on up. Jehovah now said to Moses, "Go down. Warn the people that they do not try to break through to Jehovah to take a look, and many of them have to fall. And let the priests also who regularly come near to Jehovah sanctify themselves, that Jehovah may not break out upon them." At this Moses said to Jehovah, "The people are not able to come up to Mount Sinai, because you yourself already warned us, saying, 'Set bounds for the mountain and make it sacred.'" However, Jehovah said to him, "Go, descend, and you must come up, you and Aaron with you. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up to Jehovah, that he may not break out upon them." Accordingly, Moses descended to the people and told them. And that was Exodus 19. Luke chapter 8. Shortly afterwards, Jesus went journeying from city to city and from village to village, preaching and declaring the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women that had been cured of wicked spirits and sicknesses, Mary, the so-called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's man in charge, and Susanna, and many other women who were ministering to them from their belongings. Now when a great crowd had collected together with those that went to him from city after city, he spoke by means of an illustration. A sower went out to sow his seed. Well, as he was sowing, some of it fell alongside the road and was trampled down, and the birds of heaven ate it up. Some other landed upon the rock mass, and after sprouting it dried up because of not having moisture. Some other fell among the thorns, and the thorns that grew up with it choked it off. Some other fell upon the good soil, and after sprouting it produced fruit 100-fold. As he told these things, he proceeded to call out, "Let him that has ears to listen, listen." But his disciples began to ask him what this illustration might mean. He said, "To you it is granted to understand the sacred secrets of the kingdom of God, but for the rest it is in illustrations, in order that though looking, they may look in vain, and though hearing, they may not get the meaning." Now the illustration means this: the seed is the word of God. Those alongside the road are the ones that have heard. Then the devil comes and takes the word away from their hearts in order that they may not believe and be saved. Those upon the rock mass are the ones who, when they hear it, receive the word with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a season, but in a season of testing they fall away. As for that which fell among the thorns, these are the ones that have heard, but by being carried away by anxieties and riches and pleasures of this life, they are completely choked and bring nothing to perfection. As for that on the fine soil, these are the ones that, after hearing the word with a fine and good heart, retain it and bear fruit with endurance. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it underneath a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand, that those stepping in may behold the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not become manifest, neither anything carefully concealed that will never become known and never come into the open. Therefore, pay attention to how you listen, for whoever has, more will be given him. But whoever does not have, even what he imagines he has, will be taken away from him. Now his mother and brothers came toward him, but they were unable to get to him because of the crowd. However, it was reported to him, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to see you." In reply, he said to them, "My mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it." In the course of one of the days, he and his disciples got into a boat, and he said to them, "Let us cross to the other side of the lake." So they set sail, but as they were sailing, he fell asleep. Now a violent windstorm descended upon the lake, and they began to fill up with water and to be in danger. Finally, they went to him and roused him, saying, "Instructor, instructor, we are about to perish." Rousing himself, he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they subsided, and a calm set in. Then he said to them, "Where is your faith?" But struck with fear, they marveled, saying to one another, "Who really is this? For he orders even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" And they put into shore in the country of the Gerasenes, which is on the side opposite Galilee. But as he got out onto land, a certain man from the city who had demons met him. And for a considerable time, he had not worn clothing, and he was staying not at home, but among the tombs. At the sight of Jesus, he cried aloud and fell down before him. And with a loud voice, he said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had been ordering the unclean spirits to come out of the man. For over a long time it had held him fast, and he was repeatedly bound with chains and fetters under guard. But he would burst the bonds and be driven by the demon into the lonely places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," because many demons had entered into him. And they kept entreating him not to order them to go away into the abyss. Now a herder of a considerable number of swine was feeding there on the mountain. So they entreated him to permit them to enter into those, and he gave them permission. Then the demons went out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd rushed over the precipice into the lake and drowned. But when the herders saw what had happened, they fled and reported it to the city and to the countryside. Then people turned out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons came out, clothed and in his sound mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And they became fearful. Those who had seen it reported to them how the demon-possessed man had been made well. So all the multitude from the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to get away from them, because they were in the grip of great fear. Then he went aboard the boat and turned away. However, the man from whom the demons had gone out kept begging to continue with him. But he dismissed the man, saying, "Be on your way back home and keep on relating what things God did for you." Accordingly, he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what things Jesus did for him. When Jesus got back, the crowd received him kindly, for they were all expecting him. But look, a man named Jairus came, or Jairus, and this man was a presiding officer of the synagogue. And he fell down at the feet of Jesus and began to entreat him to enter into his house, because he had an only begotten daughter about 12 years old, and she was dying. As he was going, the crowds thronged him, and a woman subject to a flow of blood for 12 years, who had not been able to get a cure from anyone, approached from behind and touched the fringe of his outer garment, and instantly her flow of blood stopped. So Jesus said, "Who is that? Who is it? Who was it that touched me?" When they were all denying it, Peter said, "Instructor, the crowds are hemming you in and closely pressing you." Yet Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceived that power went out of me." Seeing that she had not escaped notice, the woman came trembling and fell down before him and disclosed before all the people the cause for which she touched him and how she was healed instantly. But he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go your way in peace." While he was yet speaking, a certain representative of the presiding officer of the synagogue came, saying, "Your daughter has died. Do not bother the teacher any longer." On hearing this, Jesus answered him, "Have no fear. Only put forth faith, and she will be saved." When he reached the house, he did not let anyone go in with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. But people were all weeping and beating themselves in grief for her. So he said, "Stop weeping, for she did not die, but is sleeping." At this they began to laugh at him scornfully, because they knew she had died. But he took her by the hand and called, saying, "Girl, get up." And her spirit returned, and she rose instantly. And he ordered something to be given her to eat. Well, their parents were beside themselves, but he instructed them to tell no one what had happened. And that was Luke chapter 8. So our study is concluded for today, little children. I love you all very much. Have a wonderful day. I hope you enjoyed the study. God bless you. And let us be appreciative of the incredible, marvelous illustrations that Jesus gave in his teaching. In fact, he didn't teach without an illustration, because, as he said, it was so that the unbelievers might not believe. In other words, not to compel someone to believe would be the reasoning behind that. It is still May 8th, 2023. It's 17:03 hours momentarily, but it's going to be 17:04 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green, and for me, it is live. What have I done here? Oh, that's right. Yeah. No, something is different. Oh, I'm not. Yeah, I don't see myself. I'm going to have to do some work on this video, perhaps, because I don't see myself with the colors in the proper orientation, as if they're not inverted in the recording software, perhaps. For Ward Green, it's Live Dusty and Gully saying bye for now.